For the last decade, Hawaii has tried to chart a course toward a renewable energy future. You already know about Hawaii's Clean Energy Initiative requiring 40% renewables by 2030. This week, lawmakers are considering a handful of bills to expand or redefine the options. Up for hearing today is a measure that could change how we create energy communities by offering possibilities to residents regardless of the participation of their neighbors or whether they rent or own. Meanwhile, another bill scheduled for decision-making today could create wind turbine buffer zones around certain areas. Richard Walsgrove is the program director for the Blue Planet Foundation, and he joins us now with an overview. Good morning.
Good morning.
We had a lot of bills move through about energy just in this small space of this week so far, and a short week at that. But looking at one of the bills that's coming up for decision-making today, the wind turbine bill, some people would say, well, you know, you've got to have some buffer zones and not have these things right abutting, you know, people's homes, perhaps, or a hospital or a school or, you know, any of those types of areas. But this kind of comes down to how this bill is written. You're an attorney. Do you look at this bill and say this is a good thing or that it's got problems?
The concept of wind turbine setbacks obviously is a good idea. We want to regulate all development and how far things are built from each other. But this bill is particularly problematic. It would stop all sorts of things. It would stop me, for example, from putting a 1-foot wind turbine on my roof. It would stop a commercial building, say, downtown that wanted to integrate a wind turbine into the building from doing that. I think that the concept is really a good one, but it should be dealt with in another way. Currently, the counties regulate wind turbines. They regulate the setbacks, and that might be a better vehicle ultimately for determining community by community, turbine by turbine, how to deal with this setback issue.
So you got a problem with the way it's written, the language of it, because it's too broad?
Far too broad.
And also that there may be other ways to deal with the same issue. So you ask the question, do we really even need legislation like this coming from the state?
Right. These issues that come up with wind turbine setbacks, to me, it's really a community issue. How do communities want to develop? I think that everybody is starting to agree. We don't want to put gigantic oil-fired power plants in somebody's backyard, like we have in Nanakuli today, for example. So we have to allow communities a way to determine exactly their own futures. How will they generate their own energy? And this is the future we're looking at. And you have to be a little bit more sophisticated about how you do that than just to say no more wind turbines. Maybe we should do what some of the county ordinances already do here in Hawaii, certainly what happens in other places. Let's make setbacks determined by how big the turbine is or other impacts that people might be concerned about in a particular place at a particular time.
Are you at all concerned that as today decision will be made on this particular bill that this is continuing a conversation in a direction that we really shouldn't be going in?
I wouldn't say that I'm concerned. Ultimately, the legislature is acting in the public interest. We want them to have these discussions. If there is a setback law that should happen at the state level, fine, let's do that. I think that the lawmakers will take a close look, and they wouldn't allow the bill in its current form, which is really problematic, to go forward.
All right, then the bill we've been talking about is the HB 1384. Let's look at some of the other bills that have been moving through. One in the Senate, one in the House, both looking at setting a 100% renewable standard for 2040. House bill would have to be heard by tomorrow. Probably not going to happen.
Almost guaranteed not to happen. No hearing, which is a little bit frustrating. This is an important issue. We wish that folks would have an opportunity to at least talk about it.
But the Senate version is moving along.
We're still
waiting
for a hearing, and it doesn't have the same tight deadline. So hopefully it gets a hearing.
But looking at the issue of having 100% renewables by 2040, there are some people who have said, look, we have enough trying to get 40% by 2030, and now we're projecting out another 10 years where we don't know what the technology may be. We don't know what feasibility of certain options may be. And we're having a tough time trying to, you know, get to where we need to go. And it's 2015 already. We're not talking about that many more years. And it was one thing we were talking about this even 10 years ago. Do you think having 2040 in there, well, first to 2035 and then 2040, is an appropriate extension for now? Or should we be focusing more on the 2030 deadline?
Well, the good news is that we're ahead of schedule. All the islands basically are ahead of the targets that are in the current set of laws, but the current set of laws only take us to the 40% number that you mentioned. That leaves us with 60%, the majority of our energy, which could come from fossil fuels. And if you think about all the energy decisions we're making today, we have to make sure we don't make a decision that locks us in for another 30, 40, 50, 60 years to that fossil fuel future. I don't think anybody really wants that anymore. We've moved past that. 2040 is a reasonable date. In fact, I would argue for a 2030 date. Let's change that 2030 date to 100%. And that comes from a recent report by Hawaiian Electric that said they could do that. They came up with a set of scenarios for different energy futures. One of them was to set 100% renewables 2030. And they found that the costs on their initial analysis, they weren't outrageous. It was something like 0 to 5 cents more per kilowatt hour to do that. If we can do that by 2030, let's do it. This law for 2040 could be a backstop to say that's the last date. That's when we switch off definitely the last fossil-fueled power plant.
Is this at all falling on deaf ears on people who have been saying, but I've been trying to just connect my own house to solar and do my bit?
That's exactly why we need a law. We need to make sure that all of the decisions that are made, like decisions about these rooftop solar systems, push us further and further down this road. You talked earlier, I heard you talking with the folks at Civil Beat about the solar farms. That's one thing that needs to get done, the solar farms. I think we also need to really get comfortable with the idea that every roof should have a solar panel on it by 2030 or 2040.
When we talked about the 8 solar farms that may happen in central Oahu and on the North Shore, again, it brings up the issue of, well, you know, we have a finite amount of land, and which value is more important, the beauty and keeping it as it is, even if it's just scrub and kaavi trees, or do you use it to power the people who are here? That's a pretty weighty conversation. Do you think that we're going to be able to get around that conversation and really put our arms around it and sit down and have a substantive one now, given the fact that we see how population is escalating and see what our energy needs really have been over this last, 10 years?
Well, here, that's the idea of having this 100% backstop. For those conversations to happen, we have to say that that's the goal. We can't skirt it if we say this is where the future is headed. How do we get there? Something like the solar farms that are currently proposed is probably just the beginning of that conversation, in that that's something like, I don't know, 1/3% or something of land cover. And so we can have a conversation about, is 1/3% of our land cover worth that huge chunk of renewable energy? The weighty questions, I think, come up when we get to the 80 and 90 and 95% level, where we have to make the hard decisions about, okay, we've done every rooftop, we've done the solar farms, and now what? I hope that we can get past these earlier conversations, and we can do what seems to be in everybody's economic and environmental interest. And again, using a bill like this 2040 100% bill, really force ourselves to have the trickier conversations that you're talking about.
Well, there are other bills to establish those solar gardens, and let's get to that a little bit. That would allow people to form their own communities, regardless of whether they're in a condo unit where the whole condo unit is not going to talk about putting rooftop solar, or how somehow that might be, piped into those who want it and how they form their own communities. And that would include renters who right now seem to be somewhat out of this conversation.
The solar gardens concept is brilliant. It's happening now in at least 13 or 14 other states. And I think you've said it exactly right. It gives everybody the option to participate in the sort of rooftop solar, or even a distributed wind or small hydro systems. It gives everybody more options. And the more options we have, the more the communities can determine how they make their own power. I think the better off we all are. The community solar concept is going to, I think, have some growing pains. We have to decide, is this a utility-centric model based on big solar farms that renters and others can buy into? Or is it more about making sure there's a panel on every rooftop?
HB 484, which is the House version of the solar garden bill, is coming up for hearing today. Anything that you think that we really haven't talked about with that bill in previous hearings?
It's really this tension that I mentioned that is yet to bubble to the surface in the conversation. If we look at a place like Colorado, for example, or Minnesota, they saw huge demand for their solar gardens, and it's because it was really a community-based model. They had a portion of the program that was set aside for low-income ratepayers. They had mechanisms to allow anybody to come in and propose a project, no matter how big or how small it was. I think that question still needs to be answered here in Hawaii.
And we also have some barrel tax bills moving through. They're sort of not quite shaping themselves yet. We'll have to bring you back and talk about those sometime in the future. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Richard Walsgrove is an attorney and the program director for the Blue Planet Foundation. He's also worked with the Center for Island Climate Adaptation and Policy at the University of Hawaii.